This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Embiid got Gallinari on him. Spins, lost the handle. Gallinari got a piece. Up is Gallinari. Down it goes. A Philadelphia turnover, and the Atlanta Hawks add to their lead. Up six now. A defensive stand by Atlanta. Got them shaking their heads here in Philadelphia.
You know who else was shaking his head? Me. Ken.
And me.
Yes. People that bet on the Sixers. Just not even yesterday. I didn't bet on the game yesterday, like at least side or total. But like, oh my God. I cannot believe that this actually happened. I can't believe this whole weekend actually occurred in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So we can quickly kind of recap, Ken. Of course, you better you bet new time slot. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here on the newly expanded BetQL here. We'll spin this forward to Milwaukee and Atlanta. In the Eastern Conference final.
Right,
we'll spin
right
it forward to that.
To play for a title.
For the right to play for a championship. And the coach Bud Ball. I mean, what did we do to deserve this? Milwaukee and Atlanta. So we'll get to that. We'll talk about the series price. We'll talk about game one. But we need to do a little wrapping up, Ken, of what we saw this weekend. Epic game on Saturday night. Game 7 in Brooklyn with the Bucks, you know, outlasting, you know, the Nets. Incredible performance from Kevin Durant. Not enough when Kyrie doesn't play and James Harden's on one wheel. So the Bucks end up winning, coming back to win that series. And then yesterday, Kevin Herter, 27 points, and the Hawks go into Philly. Ben Simmons won't shoot at the end of the game, and the Hawks beat the Sixers in Philly. Now, there is so much meat on the bone for like an actual sports talk show. I mean, we could spend an hour on Doc Rivers' post-game press conference, what he said about Ben Simmons, on the enigma wrapped inside the conundrum, topped, you know, with a puzzle that is Ben Simmons and his lack of an offensive game. We're a gambling show, so we'll spin this forward in a second, but like, I do want to give you the opportunity here. Here's the floor, Ken, on what we saw this weekend that has turned the NBA playoffs and the Eastern Conference playoffs specifically on its head.
Sure. Everything we know about the NBA is that in a normal postseason, best team usually wins. Teams that win a ton of regular season games, teams that look like champions generally end up being champions. It's a superstar driven league, and usually the best superstars end up making it to the end. And it's all actually oddly predictable, right? It's usually we get to the end and it's like, okay, yeah, LeBron won again. Okay, the Warriors were the best team all year. Yeah, they won. They beat LeBron. Okay. Spurs. Yeah. Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich. They're really good.
Kobe Shaq and Shaq. Kobe. Okay. Jordan. Yeah.
Right. And even like the weird years, it's like, oh, Pistons won. Yeah. The Pistons who won like 60 regular season games. Yes. Yes. They won the NBA title. The Raptors who won like 58 regular season games and have Kawhi Leonard who had won a title. Yes. They won the NBA title, and they played a team who got hurt in the NBA finals. So this is strange, right? Cause we're in this no man's land. We don't know. I'm afraid to say what I think is going to happen next. We're left with the Clippers, Phoenix, Atlanta, and Milwaukee to play for the NBA title in our final four in the NBA postseason tournament. And I'm afraid to be like, well, I feel really good about this because the most unexpected things, unexpected injuries, unexpected games have all happened in these two games specifically. Just kind of one general thought on both of them, I think, for the teams that lost. And then we can do obviously the teams that won are going to play each other. Brooklyn just ran out of gas. It's really obvious. They were the better team in the series. They suffered injuries. Milwaukee took advantage of those injuries and played a little bit better. And Brooklyn just didn't have enough energy to kind of put forth an effort to win the game. Durant wears a smaller shoe. They still move on. But I think there's no question, obviously, of kind of why the series turned
also,
out the way
Joe Harris, if Joe, and look, I don't care, but like Joe Harris makes any shot over the course of the, like, I mean, just
Harden. But, how about Harden doesn't shoot 1 for 78?
Harden's not healthy. You're not wrong. And Harden has a history of this, obviously. But like, can Joe Harris make a shot? Like, for our bets, can he make a shot?
We had his over.
Do something, Joe.
Who were not following in game 7, and he had many a wide open look and a couple layups. Anyway, we're off topic a little bit. So I think you and I both feel like a fully healthy Brooklyn torches everyone that's remaining in the tournament. Probably
that's the best team in the league. Brooklyn's
easily,
the best team.
Easily wins the Eastern Conference, and then fully healthy Clippers would probably give them a really good test in the finals, and that's probably where we would have ended up without all the significant injuries, but we didn't, so here we are. But I don't kind of hold anything against Brooklyn. There's a team based around three stars, and they had 1.5 stars. What do you think is going to happen? Milwaukee probably should have been maybe been favored in the game. Anyway, Philly, everyone wants to bag on Simmons. It's the easiest thing in the entire world to do. He's not very likable. He gave up a dunk to a guy who doesn't shoot very well either, who had a much more contested dunk because he was afraid of getting fouled, basically, and has kind of like a mental problem going on, basically, in the clutch situations of these games.
Yeah, here's the problem. He can't shoot 34% right. from the line in the postseason.
But here's the thing. Like, it's everyone's problem. Like, I don't want Ben Simmons to shoot. If Ben Simmons shoots, then he becomes Giannis taking three-pointers, and we're all mad that he's shooting. Like, I don't want Simmons to shoot. My thing is, the entire structure of the Sixers organization is all broken, right? Because you're paying Doc Rivers to be this coach that can kind of fix everything, and he's kind of a guy who has now a habit of not fixing stuff, and in fact,
he's Dr. Nick Riviera.
Losing when he actually has like a better team for a lot of different reasons and not making adjustments.
Oh, no, by the way, his former team, guess where they are? His former team
right.
in the Western
Conference Finals. So, okay, so you hire this coach to do that. That seems like not something that maybe is going to be stable long term, not something that's going to work. You pay Ben Simmons max player money, except the problem is that like he's good at the things that you knew he was good at, but you were hoping he could also become good at other things like offense. Seems like a pretty important part of the game, and that hasn't happened, and now you're paying him max player money. You pay Tobias Harris to be like a guy who basically makes up for what Simmons is bad at. Harris is bad at everything Simmons is good at, but we need him to score in all of these situations. We need him to play with the second team who has no offense, and he played one of the worst games I've ever seen even a remotely like star player play in one of these situations. 8 for 24, and it felt like 2 for 80,
and he had no show game five. And remember, no showed game five
right.
also.
Right, and you pay Embiid to be awesome, and it's like, okay, well, he was one of the guys who actually kind of showed up. Well, except he shot 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter of one of the two games they blew a huge lead in. And then at the same time, he's fragile. And like, this is going to keep happening to him probably. And he's awesome, and I like watching him, and this is not like a knock on him. But that just kind of gives you an idea of like, this isn't Ben Simmons. These are all the fundamental pieces in play with the Philadelphia 76ers, and they all don't fit together and are all kind of fundamentally broken for what they're supposed to be. And that's obviously not going to be a very good combination for long-term success. And it wasn't good in this series.
I want to give Doc Rivers a shout out. In his post-game conference, managed to not only throw Ben Simmons under the bus, which he did with like in incredible
fashion.
Which
is funny because like you could throw so like Tobias Harris has got like I wonder if Tobias Harris went to his press availability and was like, yeah, Ben Simmons, can you believe that guy? It's like or there's so many people that share the blame.
But like, but shouldn't Doc be going like, hey, like I didn't do a good enough job, even if it's not true? Like that's what you want your coach to say. And not only did he throw Simmons under the bus, he threw Brett Brown under the bus.
Yep.
He goes, well, last year this team got swept in the first round, so I don't consider it a failure. That might look. I don't care. I'm not a Philly sports fan.
Right.
It's whatever. They're eliminated.
Right.
But like, man, if I'm a Sixers fan, I want this guy out the door yesterday, last night for that. That's as embarrassing as it gets for an NBA coach to throw A, one of his players under the bus like that, and B, be like, oh yeah, well, we got swept last year, so it's okay as the number one seed massive favorite that we lost in seven, which is, by the way, what I do better than any coach in the history of the NBA. What a loser, Glenn. You know what? I'm going to stop calling him Doc. He's Glenn as far as I'm concerned now. Glenn Rivers, another game seven loss, throwing everyone under the bus except for himself, loser.
Okay. Noted. All right. My only thing is
I liked him on the Knicks when he was a player on the Knicks,
have,
by the way.
Right. And like I'm a Celtics fan. He won them an NBA, like not won them. He coached them to an NBA championship. Kevin Garnett won them an NBA championship. We can go on this. There isn't really anything to bet on until we know what Philly's going to do in the next year as the markets open everything. But yeah, an incredibly surprising two-game result that sets up one of the most unexpected NBA conference finals I can literally ever remember in my entire life.
I think it's actually the most. I think it's number one on the list. You better.
I just can't think of one off the top of my head. What's
like
the frame
people?
Of reference
people may yeah. people may bring up like Knicks Pacers in '99 when the Knicks were the 8 seed. Like that
sure.
Knicks team was good. It was a strike shortened season. So right. like I don't even know
this
if that really holds
too.
Water.
That's yep. what it takes. That's what it takes to create a matchup like this.
All right, you bet BetQL. I was going to say BetQL Audio Network. That's not the name anymore. That may take me, Eli, a little bit to get used to because I'm very robotic. You bet BetQL. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here, the newly expanded BetQL. Ryan McDonough is going to join us in about 10 minutes here to talk NBA playoffs. But for right now, let's spin this forward to this improbable, ridiculous Eastern Conference final, which is set to tip off on Wednesday night with Milwaukee. and Atlanta, the Atlanta Hawks. Like, listen, credit to them, credit to Nate, credit to Trae Young, credit to Herter and Bogdan and Capella.
They're
and
really
they're awesome.
They're more fun than Philly.
they're more fun than Milwaukee. I hope Atlanta wins. Series price, Milwaukee minus 480 at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. Hawks plus 350. The game one line on Wednesday. Bucks a 7.5-point favorite. Total 226.5. If you like Atlanta on the money line in game one, plus 250 is your price there. And just title odds coming out of the East right now. Milwaukee's even money right now at Bet Rivers to win the NBA championship, plus 100. Atlanta 11-1, plus 1,100. So kind of unpack it for us, Ken. Your takes, Milwaukee and Atlanta, Eastern Conference Final.
Well, what is the entire postseason's been about the same thing, right? No matter what the series, no matter what the game, it's all been about the same thing. Who's healthy and who's fatigued and who's injured and who's actually going to play. And in this series, it's no different, honestly. And it might not seem like it because you're like, well, wait a minute, Giannis is healthy. Like, what are you talking about? Atlanta comes at, I would love to bet Atlanta to win this series. I hate Milwaukee. I just do. I don't like watching them. I want them to be eliminated as fast as possible. I don't think they play very exciting basketball. Their superstar annoys me with how he plays, and it's just boring and clunky, and I don't like it. But here's the problem. DeAndre Hunter is already not going to come back for the rest of the playoffs. He might be someone you would be interested in having in this series as one of the many options to try to like put a wall up in front of Giannis. Your best wing defender would obviously be helpful in that. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic gets hurt at the end of the Philly series, basically is irrelevant in game seven, which is why Kevin Herter had to play so well. And we don't know what he's going to be like. So it's really the handicap of the series. Usually for me starts with guarding each superstar, and we can do that next. But to me, each series this postseason is actually who's going to play. When are the players going to come back? Okay. Based on that, like who should be favored and by how much? I think Milwaukee should be a monster favorite in this series. If you're telling me Hunter's not going to come back and Bogdanovic is hurt and like, I mean, where do you even start here with trying to kind of make a case for Atlanta, at least in terms of like an on-court who is playing standpoint?
So what are you doing then? Are you betting Milwaukee in game one? Are you looking to bet Milwaukee for the series? Like, it's a monster number here. Like, do you think it should be a bigger number? Like where are you at here with as far as betting this goes, either series or game one?
Sure. I do have a bet in game one. I agree with the market price on the series. I think the Bucks should be favored by about this much in game one. I do like the over in game one. That's actually kind of what I like. So
226.5.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I would start. I think the really interesting thing is how is each team going to guard each superstar, right? That's kind of where you want to start. So, all right, you figure, we have Jrue Holiday. He can kind of guard Trae Young in the regular season matchups where Trae Young didn't play very much. Like, that was the obvious matchup that happened. Okay. Like, here's somebody who can kind of limit him. Okay, I guess that kind of makes sense. And then at the other end, who's kind of going to be Blake Griffin, who's like a one of a kind player to try to go. That was one of the things that Brooklyn actually did right, is they had one of the guys in the league who could actually kind of do what was necessary to contain Giannis as much as possible. Atlanta has John Collins, Atlanta has Solomon Hill, Atlanta has, you know, Capella for very, very small stretches. Atlanta has Cam Reddish who can come off the bench. Like, do any of these sound interesting? Atlanta has, you know, it's like I keep listing out players and I'm like, what's
the entourage line? Like the older director. Is that something that might interest you? It's like, no, right. It doesn't interest me at all.
Right. And so I'm kind of like struggling to just see, like, can Atlanta guard Milwaukee? Okay, that's kind of interesting. And so I think that gives the Bucks an advantage, which is one of the reasons I think they should be favored. I think they can contain Trae Young better. I think each team might want to run a little bit more in this series. Honestly, like, Milwaukee just got out of a series with Brooklyn, who wants to limp the ball.
Atlanta has to, kind of, right? Don't you feel like Atlanta almost kind of has to? Like, there's no 100%. Choice.
But think about how each team comes out of their series, right? So Atlanta comes out of a series against Philly, who, when Embiid is on the court, wants to play really slow, wants to run every possession through him, 17 feet from the basket, go. That's going to lend itself to slow pace, kind of under type games, even if the game goes over because they shot like crazy. That game like feels slow paced because of Embiid running the offense. Brooklyn ends up with so many injuries that by the time we get to game 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like, it is the biggest slog, like, you know, 1990s rock fight you could possibly imagine. But these two teams were the teams that weren't really interested in playing that way. It was just, if one team wants to go slow, it's going to be slow. I don't think either of these teams wants to go slow. Atlanta can't want to go slow because I don't think they're going to be able to score. I think they're going to want to push the ball in transition as much as possible. And Milwaukee has been, in a lot of situations, pretty good at that. Like, I think each one is kind of okay with the pace in the series. And it's an unknown because we haven't really watched them play at all the entire year with these roster compositions. So the total in game one, until we know what it's going to be style-wise, is a total guess. Total guess, and it's a total guess in terms of the over-under. Like, we really have no idea how the teams are going to fit together. I'm looking at a total like this and I'm thinking, all right, each team might want to run a little bit more. I don't think Giannis can be guarded kind of whatsoever by Atlanta's roster. Okay, this kind of feels like an over to me then with that in mind.
Milwaukee team total overs, Giannis points overs. I struggle to think of how like Atlanta's going to make this like a super competitive series. I'm not saying they're going to get swept. I'm not saying like maybe they could win a game or two here. How does Atlanta win the series unless like Giannis gets hurt or like Middleton gets hurt? Like how does that happen?
Here's the interesting thing. Who has the coaching edge in the series?
Oh, definitely Atlanta, but I don't know if it matters.
Well, but I mean, if one team can make adjustments to force the other to play worse, it's actually Atlanta, which is insane with Nate McMillan and this team. It's like this is actually their path to winning is their same path to beating Philly. Philly tripped all over themselves, did dumb things, didn't fit together the right way. They were way better and they didn't win. Milwaukee is the exact other type of team that could do the exact same thing in the exact same situation. Down the stretch, blowing a lead. Giannis is like going to the basket and throwing up shots. Like we've seen this a ton of times. The recipe is actually the same. It's like let the other team choke, basically. That's the recipe.
Milwaukee, as I said at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, the favorite right now to win the NBA championship at plus 100. Our next guest disagrees with that assertion that the winner of the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, is that favorite right now, should be favored to win the NBA championship. When Ryan McDonough joins us right after this, we're going to ask him who he thinks is the favorite to win the NBA championship and talk all things NBA postseason. Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough right after this.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.